good to see everybody back tonight. I told Peg before we left home, this is kind of like in western Nebraska, going out into a snowstorm. It's just not the smartest thing to be doing. So we appreciate everybody that is here tonight. We're going to talk about patients. I got a fan blowing up. Bruce, will you shut this little fan on for me? Thank you. We're going to talk about patients tonight. I was working on it, and I thought, you know, I just don't have the patience to do this. I don't have the patience to work on a sermon about patience. It's not the easiest subject to put a lesson together on. A lot of us, I'll include myself, have sometimes a problem dealing with patience. We talk to people, we hear people say, "You're just trying my patience." And sometimes you just want to look at them and say, "What patience?" Or, "I'm losing my patience with you." I remember saying that as a father to my kids. Or, "I just don't have the patience for this. I'm done dealing with it." Patience, as we know, is not often easy to demonstrate. Looking for the perfect job, waiting for a life partner, hoping to have children, being the victim of a wrongdoing, long lines at the checkout counter, bumper-to-bumper traffic, lines at DMV. List goes on and on and on. And those are just a few situations that we get into that we have a hard time dealing with having our patience. Often, we can feel that this impatience is an okay anger. It's human to feel impatient. But we have to remember, we have to trust in God. We have to trust in God's timing. And we have to trust in His love. And we talked a month or two, I don't remember which one it was, either the last month or the month before, about God being in control. Everything happens for a reason. Sometimes we don't understand that. Sometimes we don't even maybe want to believe that. And this is where impatience comes into play. Things aren't going our way. It's just not happening. We're going to start in Galatians 5, starting verse 22. And we'll see here the Bible actually praises patience and lists it as part of the fruit of the Spirit. Now look at Galatians 5, 22 through 26. Paul to the church in Galatia. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified with the flesh with its passions and desires. So if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another." But you'll see a list of part of these fruits of the Spirit. You'll see on this list, one of self-control. Self-control deals with patience. Or vice versa, patience deals with our self-control. When we lose our patience, we tend to lose self-control. When we get angry, we tend to lose self-control. Or, as we're looking at tonight, we lose our patience with whatever's going on. Now we look at 1 Thessalonians 5 and 14, you'll see that what we just talked about there with the fruit of the Spirit and being able to have our patience and the list there in 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 14, it's built up. All that is built up when we follow Christ. 5:14 says, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak," and then what does it say? "Be patient with all." People, it's hard to do. I don't care who you are, how you say it, being patient with everybody is tough. I have a hard time dealing with stupid. And I don't think that's anybody's secret. Most of us do. We don't like things not to go our way. If something doesn't go our way, we think, "Well, that's just stupid. Why didn't they do it this way?" Again, it's our patience. And if we look at this, it says to exhort, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold those that are weak, and be patient with all. So that's a continuance of what we saw in Galatians, where the Bible praises patience. Listen, part of the fruit of the Spirit. If we're walking in the Spirit and we're doing the things the Spirit wants us to do, then doesn't it just make sense that we're patient with everybody, since it's part of the fruit of the Spirit? Patience is often associated with waiting. Whether we're looking at the grocery store, the DMV, traffic, whatever it might be. And waiting, we often associate with either being passive or a gentle tolerance. It's not a tolerance we really want to put up with, but it's gentle. And most times we'll deal with it somehow and get through it. The biblical meaning of patience does not imply being passive. Most of the words as patience or others used in place of patience in the New Testament are a showing of action. We go to Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12, verse 1, it reads, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. That means get rid of all your troubles. Lay them all aside. And the sin which so easily ensnares us. A lot of times we get into sin when we can't lay stuff away or we can't do away with things. Which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Endurance is used here as a synonym of patience. So you can read in there, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. What's that race? That's our race. That's our plan. That's our way to heaven. That's the race we run to try to get the crown of life at the end. But we have to do that patiently. Things don't always go the way we want to, even in our Christian lives. We have to run that, and we have to do that with patience. Persevering in a race. Those of you that have ever been in competition with athletics or in a track situation or football, basketball, whatever it might be, persevering in a race takes endurance. We can't just do it just because we want to. And Christians, as we see in the scriptures, are expected to endure trials. That's just part of it. We have to have discipline when reaching for the goal. We have to have a patient stance as we reach towards that goal. But let it be known, it's not a passive one. It's a can-do approach, but it's patient. It's understanding God's timing. But what happens is, because of our human nature, we're not inclined towards patience. I know I'm not. It's one of the most difficult things there is for me to deal with. I'm much better than I was 10 or 20 years ago, but there's a lot of improvement that can be made, and I think most of us could probably say that. We become impatient with our surroundings. We become impatient with family and friends and whatever it might be out in the world. It's tough for us. Our human nature is not inclined towards patience, but we must build patience into our character. It's a must. As with anything else, we need God's help. So we look in Colossians. Colossians chapter 1:9, 10, 11, and 12. Paul writes to the church in Colossae, he writes this, for this reason we also, since the day we heard it, that's God's word, do not cease to pray for you, and do ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. We don't cease to pray for that for you guys. That you may walk worthy of the Lord. That's being obedient. fully pleasing to him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. That's how we become fruitful in every good work, is through our study and our knowledge and then the wisdom that we acquire to put all that knowledge to work. Verse 11 goes on to say, strengthened with all might. That's how we get strong, through God, according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy. So we see in verse 12, and then he says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. So we see here, the trials that we face are opportunities for us to perfect our patience. The more trials we go through, the more tribulations we have, the stronger that patience gets. The stronger we come and become in knowledge, the stronger we become with our faith, the stronger we will have as far as our patience is concerned. But the trials we face are opportunities for us to perfect our patience, and we do that through Christ's support. James chapter 1. Verses 2 through 4. James writes this. He says, "No, brethren, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials." Yeah, well, how's that, James? I don't like that. We have trials and tribulations. Now, here's this guy telling me, find it joyful. You know, I get there's things in Paul's letter. That's, come on, Paul, how do you expect me to do that? If I were talking to James and sitting with him, I'd say, James, how in the world am I supposed to be happy about trials and tribulations? But he says, be joyous in that, knowing, this is why, knowing that the testing of your faith does what? It produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. So here again, we look at the word patience, and it says, knowing that the testing of your faith will produce patience. We test our faith when we get into different trials and tribulations. Can we look to God and give him everything and say, I'm done dealing with this, God, you do it, and move on? That's when our faith becomes stronger, is when we get to the point we can do that. And as our faith gets stronger, that'll produce patience for us. We're called to rest in God's perfect timing. We have to understand God's timing, which is beyond our understanding. We talked about that in, is God in control? His ways are so far above us, we have no earthly idea. His thoughts are above us, as the heavens are above the earth. So when we try to deal with God's timing instead of our own, we have a hard time with that because we don't understand. God doesn't really have time. We do. We have time. We know when to get up in the morning, when to go to bed at night, or usually we do, if we're smart enough, when to, you know, eat our meals, and when do we show up at work, and when work's over. We have time for all that. When we start a sermon, when we start service, when sermons are over, whatever. But God doesn't work on a time schedule. He figures it out and does it when he deems necessary. And a lot of times it's not according to our clock. So we're called to rest in God's perfect timing. It's beyond our understanding, especially when we face unfairness and schemes that come up against us, Satan working in our life. It's hard for us to deal with all that. James 5. 4 through 8. Indeed, the wages of the laborers who mowed their fields, which you kept back by fraud, cry out. And the cries of the reapers have reached the ears of the Lord of the Sabbath. You have lived on earth in pleasure and luxury. You have fattened your hearts as in a day of slaughter. Well, that kind of sounds like what we're going through right now today, doesn't it? You have condemned, you have murdered the just. He does not resist you. Therefore, verse 7, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. And then he gives an example here. He says, see how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth. If any of you have ever been involved with farming or around farms, you'll understand that. I was born and raised on a farm. We planted wheat in the fall. It came up. It went dormant through the winter. It'd come back active in the spring. And then somewhere along about right now, this time of year, we'd start thinking about bringing it in out of the fields, harvest it, or corn, or milo, or soybean, whatever crop you want to talk about. But that took a lot of patience waiting for all that to happen. Mother Nature can do a lot of things to a wheat crop or any kind of a crop. I sat and watched many fields of wheat get held out. It's not pleasant. I'd come home, Dad'd say, well, at least we got moisture for the grass for the cattle. There was always a positive thing in my dad's attitude. But this, he's saying, see how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and the latter rain. We never know if Mother Nature was going to rain enough. Parts of this country have been in drought, for a period of time now. And then in verse 8, he says, you also be patient, just as that farmer. Establish your heart, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. We know Jesus is coming back. We don't know when, but he's made a promise he's going to come back. He said it, I believe it. But we have to be patient for that. Some of these people back in this first century church times thought it was now, and they wanted to give up their work and just, wait for Jesus. And Paul had to explain to him, James had, several of them had to explain to him, it doesn't work that way. We don't know when Jesus is coming. You keep doing what you're doing. And then be patient for the coming of the Lord. We're going to end this up. There's three steps that help us develop patience. One, we are called to first give thanks to God in all situations for his unwavering love and his support. We find that, I got to go to Philippians once tonight. You all know me. Philippians 4:4, one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. That's a command. So if we're having trials, we're having tribulation, James is telling us to be happy in that. Now Paul's telling us in all situations, rejoice and be happy. Then I think maybe that's what we ought to do. We look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We'll go back there for just a minute. Verses 16 through 22, we see what Paul writes to the church in Thessalonica. He says, rejoice always. Sounds like the same thing he wrote to the church in Philippi. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. Well, why do that? For that's the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast what is good, and abstain from every form of evil. That's how you build faith. That's how you build patience. Keep yourself out of trouble. I watch TV and I see all this stuff going on, and gangs and shootings and all. Just stay out of there. Don't go to those places. You won't get in trouble. Seemed pretty simple to me. First Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 8. 1 Peter chapter 1, 3 through 8. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. It's not going away. It's there. It's reserved for us. Who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Okay, so everybody that's kept by the power of God, those that have the faith, those that believe, those that obey, all that's going to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice. We're back to this one. Now here's Peter telling me. rejoice. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. Here's Peter telling me I'm going to have trials. James told me I'm going to have trials. James told me to be happy about it. Peter says rejoice. I suppose maybe that's what should happen. Various trials, that the genuineness of your faith being much more precious, the genuineness of your faith being much more precious than gold. We hold gold to a pretty high standard. Your faith is even more than that. Because it says here that the more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. That is your faith. It will persevere. It will withstand the fire. Whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him God, yet believing. And we're right back. You rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. We're supposed to be happy about the calling we have. We're supposed to not let trials and tribulations get us down, even knowing that we're going to have them. Just plan on it. And then let God deal with it if you don't want to. Number two, we need to seek his purpose. We may endure hardships for many reasons. We don't know. But all according to God's will. And sometimes we experience trials to be a reminder to God's love for us. He puts us through these trials and tribulations to make us stronger. Do we understand that? Do we understand that's God's love? Or sometimes we go through a painful event so we can learn more dependence on God. And then number three, we have to remember God's promises. We go to Romans. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for the good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. One more time. We know that all good things work together for good to those who love God. It's not going to work for those who don't love God. So we need to seek his purpose. We need to endure hardships for many reasons according to God's will. This reminds us that God works for the good of those who love him. We can rest assured in this promise when we feel stuck in the midst of pain or hardship or any kind of trial or tribulation. We can rest assured that God's there. The Bible contains numerous examples of people who were characterized by their patience in the face of trials. One of the best ones, we all know the story of Job. You got a problem with your patience, go read Job. That's the easiest thing I'd say for you. Job's one of the greatest stories of a man acting in patience instead of disobedience to God. Abraham, also having patiently waited, obtained the promise. Jesus exhibited patience as well when he was led to the cross. Now, do we have that kind of patience? I don't, but we'll work on it. It's a human's natural response is impatient, frustration, and we need to practice developing patience. And I've said it before, and I'll stand by it. It is a learned behavior. It's not something you're just going to reach up in the air and have. It's not something you're born with. We have to work on it. We have to develop it. We have the strength of God to do that. We have the hope of God's promise to always work in our favor, to lean on while we develop that patience. Now, I end this in Romans 2, verse 7. Romans 2, verse 7 says, eternal life to those who by patient, there's that word again. Eternal life to those who by patient continuance and doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. We have the patience, we continue to do good, we have the love of God, God loves us, we know God's always there for us, Now I have to ask a question, what's the problem? Why does that little bump in the road agitate us so bad that, quote unquote, we lose our patience? Or we get to the point where I just don't have patience for this, I'm done. And you throw your hands up in the air and walk away. I've seen people do that with the church because they didn't get their way somewhere. It happens. And that's where our love, that's where our understanding, and that's where Paul is talking about having patience with those that you deal with. That's patience. I'm glad you all had the patience to be here tonight. We always issue an invitation. If there are those in the auditorium tonight that have not put their Lord on in baptism, now would be the time to do that. The water's ready. We're ready. Depends on if you are ready. We also issue an invitation. We offer the opportunity to ask for prayers of this congregation. Patience might be something you need help with. If you do, let us know. We'll pray for you or whatever need you might have in your life. If we don't know about it, we can't pray for you. And sometimes we're so private about ourselves and our inner being won't let us ask for help when we need it the most. You try to deal with it yourself. If you have a need, as Sam leads us in the invitation song, let it be known.